Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Fat Femme Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Dr. John Paul, LLC.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Fat Femme Podcast, where all the intersections of identity are celebrated. I am one of your hosts, John, also known as Dr. John Paul. And we officially are halfway through the year. Look, I'm looking at the calendar in 2023 basically said, I got to go. Like, where are you going, girl? Like,
why?
It is the first week of June. And that means that we are literally at the halfway mark of the year. But, you know, it is what it is. We're here. We're doing the best that we can with what we got. And I do want to say that we are both fresh from being out of the country. How was your time away, Joel?
Girl, first of all, I don't understand where this year has gone and where the rest of it is going.
Yeah.
Like, this has been a year of, I actually am not in control. I am not driver of my life right now.
Yes.
I am not in passenger seat. I am bitch seat in the middle. I am in a car
literally
seat currently, just strapped in, hoping to God that we don't spin out. So that is wild itself.
Why did I get a... You know what happened? So my mind is so fucking visual. I saw Miss Peach in that car spinning around.
Miss Peach as in Miss Princess Peach?
Yes, the Princess Peach. I saw her spinning around like she hit a banana peel, because that's literally how
just peel after peel after peel after peel, and what's the word? Yeah. Blue shelled the fuck out of life. Yes. Oh my God.
Literally, that's what this year is giving. Everywhere I look, it's like another goddamn blue shell has hit me. And I'm like, oh, so this is what we're doing. Okay. All right. I got it. Okay. That's all I saw. But go off, sis.
Fam, it is Jordan, a.k.a. Joho. And I'm coming to y'all live from my permanent residence of my house, because I am tired of flying Lord Jesus and Moses. By time of the country, it was great, mostly. It was like traveling is just exhausting. I feel like traveling nowadays is just exhausting, period. And literally yesterday was 24 hours of travel, like from getting to airport to getting on airplane to then getting back to America, then getting to like the next leg of flight, like 24 full hours of traveling. And I was like, I'm not built for this anymore. Like, this is
literally
no longer what fuels me. Like, if I can teleport, great. If not, I'm gonna just stay my ass home. Like, you actually don't need me overseas at all. I'm good to go. So
I really am there, right there with you in the sense of like, it's just not. And the thing too that, and again, we've been saying we're going to do a show about this and one day we will. The idea too of you flying and being chubby is what also makes it even more stressful.
Bitch.
Like that's a whole conversation on
flying
its own. So I definitely
just
feel you.
Like, it's just like, I mean, I appreciate, I feel like before I used to get a lot, like sometimes stares here and there. I feel like now that isn't happening as much anymore at all. And I appreciate that, like it's funny, like some flight attendants, like you asked for a butt extender, some are discreet as fuck, right? They're like, got you. They slightly, quickly grab it and give it to you right then and there, right? Sometimes they will, like, they'll disappear, they'll come back right by your seat, kneel next to you and, like, slap around your hand, like it's a drug deal, right? And sometimes they're like, you want a butt extender? Okay.
You want a whole extra plane?
You want the whole
seat?
Okay, bitch. Actually, let me tell you. What got me gripping gagged on my return flight is, I flew with my aunt, y'all, to an undisclosed place because mind your business. And I came back and when my aunt and I came back, and it was my first time traveling with her in this past year, so it was really special to be with her. I feel like I got some good time with her and some family members. It's a note for myself. I will only travel with BIPOC people from now on because white folks is doing the most. Auntie, if you hear this, I love you, Danny. You know I love you so much. This was such a great trip. When we on the trip back, we get to the gate and we scan our boarding pass, and this woman stops me and she's like, "I'm sorry, we're going to change your seats." And we were like, and at first I was like, "Oh my god, yes, I'm about to get a free upgrade," because I asked about earlier, so I'm about a free upgrade. I was like, "Yes." So then she's like. Then she's like, "I don't know how you made your seat arrangements, but we want you to be more comfortable. So we're going to move your aunt to a different seat and open the seat next to you." And I was like, first of all, is she implying that I should have bought two seats? Bitch, are you saying that I should have bought two seats? But I was like, no, it's okay. I could use some alone time. I would love an empty seat. Yeah. Sure, right? So I was like,
bye, auntie.
I was like, okay. So she stops us, pulls us aside. She's trying to figure out the sitting stuff. She prints out a new boarding seat for my aunt and gives it to her. Then she takes it back and she's like, "I'm sorry, someone's already in this seat. We have to move you again." 10 minutes pass just for her to say, "I'm so sorry. We're actually bringing you back in the original spot. We're not moving at all."
Wow.
Here you go. Thank you. And I was like, okay, so just to recap, you basically said, "You big bitch, you should have got a second seat. We're going to move you because you couldn't do it yourself." Just kidding.
Right.
"We're going to move your aunt." Just kidding. "We're not going to move her at all. You'll be in the same seat you were beforehand. Good luck to it.
Right.
Hope you enjoy." I was like, bitch.
Well, this that'll do it. Flying in general is a big pain in the ass, literally. But I'm glad that you're safe. I'm glad you're back home. I am also very glad to be home. I know for many of you, you're probably listening to this and you know that we have recorded a lot of our episodes.
Bitch, I haven't
ahead
seen
of time,
you since then. I'm like, bitch, I haven't seen
right.
you in like a month. Oh my God.
Yeah. Literally, it has been a month since we've seen each other. So we're really happy to be back on the mic. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into the show. I wanted to go ahead and say this, that I have been tracking this person, the person that you've heard giggling, the person that you've heard laughing at all of our madness is our guest for this week. I will say this, that as soon as our show, literally before our show was even actually picked up, this person's name was on the list. And so I am super excited that we finally were able to track them down like a Pokemon. Yes. And when I tell you that this person is not only funny, but they really have a knack for adding comedy to this fucked up thing we call life, it is truly not an understatement. She is a writer, a producer, a filmmaker, and what I like to call a badass disruptor. Yes. Please give it up for our friend to the show, Amber Abundance. Yes. Welcome to the Black
Thank
FM Podcast. How
so
are you, baby?
Much.
Yes, Guadnessa. So good to have you.
Yes. It's so good to be here. I'm so excited to finally be doing this with you all. I feel like even the title of the show, I'm like, I gotta come. This is gonna be so fun.
Yes. And so when I saw you at Travel's event, I was like, you need to be on the show. You were like, Yes, I will respond. I got you. So thank you so much for circling back so quickly.
Absolutely.
And we are so glad that we were able to nail you down and have you on the show. It's going to be
It really is. This show is right up your alley, Amber. So very happy you're here with us. We're going to kick off the show like we always do.
Yes, you love us. Period.
Okay. We love each
exactly
other.
That's exactly how you have to know about it. Okay.
Yes.
We see each other as Jermell
would say. Yes.
Oh, we're going to kick off our show, y'all. Like we always do. I give Miss Tisha Campbell her flowers with our Steal Here segment. This week, I want to talk a little bit about setbacks because often people are struggling with these and they navigate in so many different ways. We want to understand, like, how do you move through them? So for this week's Steal Here, I want to ask, how do each of you deal with setbacks? Is there something major that you like to share that has happened? And how did you move forward? I'll start off first, then we'll kick it to our guest, and then John. So as cliche as it sounds, I really am a believer in rejection being a redirection. It's an ultimate test of faith because you can want something really bad and it still not be for you. And I know, like, I know it's the John and I talk about a lot. Like, we want something really bad and it's not for us. We get pushed away from it. And one thing I think about a lot in this moment is when I applied for university. Because when I applied for university, I went to Long Beach State. But Long Beach State was not my first choice. It was honestly like a choice that only came out of nowhere from a friend. I really wanted to go to UCLA, Chapman, or San Francisco State for film. talk about redirection. Like, I was not accepted to UCLA or Chapman, and if I was, I would literally not be here in this moment with you. So, like, you know, so it's this moment of like, when that happened, you know, I got into SF State, and I thought about, I really considered going to SF State because I want to go back to the Bay Area, but I was thinking that like film was not going to be where I wanted to be in journalism. Long Beach State was because I wanted to do storytelling type work. And so like the setback of, I didn't get into the place I really wanted to go to at first was a huge redirection to where I'm actually supposed to be. And so to me, when I have a setback, I feel, let myself feel all the feelings, but remind myself of the faith of what is for me will attract itself to me.
I know that's right.
That's what it is. Yeah. So I guess I'll jump in. I think it's such a great question for me right now in this moment in my life, because I feel like, I moved to LA in 2019 and it came after spending all of my 20s working in politics. I have learned over and over again, you know, how you have those cosmic lessons that keep coming back about, I'm like trying to figure out how to put this, but even the idea of a setback really I've learned is an opportunity for rest. To just refocus, right? Nothing will teach you that a no is in your favor like being in LA, hey? Because
so real.
A lot of this stuff, you can see what has been a no for you or something that you really desire, and then you look at that thing out in the world and you're like, thank God.
Okay? Yeah. That's real.
And one of my biggest redirections was even moving out here to LA, because at the time I had really set my whole identity, my whole pathway forward, as someone who was going to work in politics to climb that trajectory. My goal was to work for the biggest women's rights organization in the country. And I did it, and I hated every fucking second of it. Because it was just so... when I think about politics and like where we are right now, it's very clear to me that it is intentional that you do not see a lot of specifically Black women, especially Black queer women, dominating in that field the way they deserve to dominate in that field, unless they're a cop. So,
you said it.
Sorry, those are my politics.
Okay.
No, it's true. It's true. No,
You ain't told one lie.
But I realized that, I needed to make a return back to a love, which was art, like, which was storytelling and culture. And it always warms my heart when I hear folks like you, John, mention my ability to combine humor.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beauty, creativity with some of these harsh things that are happening in our world, because that's really, that intersection is where I thrive, because it allows me to be my most honest. So I think really big major setbacks have just been moments where I thought my life was going to look one way, and I got there, and I held on for as long as I could before I had to admit that what I was holding on to wasn't making me happy. I feel like we all, especially right now with the writer's strike, that we're all being kind of pushed to redefine what success is, right? Like one of our big goals one of my big goals when I came here was to do screenwriting and to bring Black queer narratives to screen and to be on streaming and all these other things. And then kind of this veil has been lifted that that is not what it seems, right?
Yep.
Some of the shows that I love the most that have been successful have now disappeared off of streaming. And it's like, in a time where people are like, don't put all your eggs in one social media basket, but then you're supposed to aspire to this, which is also full of shit. So it's just been a reminder to always use those moments when you feel like you're in a failure or when you feel like you made the wrong decision as, okay, what am I supposed to be paying attention to from this? So yeah, those moments have always put me right back where I'm supposed to be.
So first off, I'm gonna need you to stop talking to my therapist, Amber, because that's kind of rude that you telling her all. Both of y'all are talking about me behind my back. But no, that is so real, because it's funny. I had a very, very similar conversation with someone earlier today. We were talking about something, and something is in the works for me, and it came out of nowhere. But all that to be said, you know, I told them, I said, with the writer's strike, with all of the hell that I've had trying to get into the industry in the last, you know, 6 to 7 years, like, I'm just at a place right now where I don't have the energy to keep going, you know, and really thinking about all of what you just said, it's very much true. The word, if anything, the word that has been very much kind of on my head and on my heart is be okay with pivoting, right? You've got to be okay with the pivot. And it's funny because I had wrote, you know, and I heard a sheet that said, I've had more setbacks than an album on Bad Boys Records.
Oh my God.
And baby, when I tell you, no joke, you know, every once in a while, I feel like I have a really good idea. And here come Diddy talking about, nope, it's not going to work. You know, and it's just, you know, being honest, it can be very, 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 very hard to believe that good things are going to happen, because honestly, we all work in a business where we want to believe good things can happen, but 60% of the time they don't. And naming what you said, Amber, you know, we're naming why they don't happen, right? So a big part of it is, you know, white supremacy and the ways that Black and brown and queer people don't get opportunities, the ways that people gatekeep, the way that people who look like you, who supposed to have you in mind and be working with you in mind, or say that they're your friends and that they really truly got you, don't got you, right? So there's so many different things that can happen that can really kind of feed into these setbacks. But I think the biggest part for me is, you know, especially with working with a therapist and really just kind of talking myself through it. Today was one of those days, I'm going to be transparent, that I had to literally talk myself through it. Like, I pulled into the McDonald's, I got an ice cream cone, and I said, girl, eat this ice cream cone, be in your feelings for 5 minutes, and then you got to get back to work, right? Like, mentally having to remind myself that whatever little setbacks I have has nothing to do with me and my talent and things. And so I'm constantly, you know, when you ask, John, how do you get through your setbacks? I'm reminding myself how blessed I am that, you know, there are facets and parts of my dream that have happened, and there's parts that haven't. But I remember years ago being asked to do something, and I'll name it. I was asked to do something for People and for BET, and it never happened. And in the moment that it didn't happen, my heart was so broken. But I think that now, you know, specifically those two big brands, the thing that I thought I was going to do didn't happen. I now look and think about what I'm doing in different facets of my life now, and I'm going, that's why those things with People and BET didn't work out. It was so you can have a podcast, it's so you can meet the people that I hire. It's so you could have, you know, this weekly show where you're meeting with your best friend and you're able to talk with them and feel rejuvenated, right? I wouldn't have been able to do that if those things would have came to, you know, came to fruition. So, you know, I say all of that to say, you know, and I also say this real, you know, real talk, next week we'll have some really great, amazing news that we'll be able to break regarding our show. We can't say it now, but we will say it soon. And so all that to say, you know, sometimes you just have to know that things that missed you really aren't a setback, and it's making room for something greater to come. And I know we say that a lot around here, and I know we talk a lot about, you know, setbacks and how do we keep going and how do we keep finding happiness. That's really what this show is about, right? We live at the intersections of oppression, but we are going to celebrate this idea that we constantly, every week we overcome something new. And so I really appreciate both of you sharing really personal moments of your life and how you feel about things. And I'm just really excited that I know that I have two people that I can count on as I continue to push forward. All right, y'all. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break like we always do. We got to pay bills. And when we come back from our break, we are going to talk about why you got to believe to achieve. More in a sec.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody. So we are back. And so this week we are centering the conversation around the idea of abundance. It's not just a name, honey. It's who we are and why so many queer, fat, black folks feel like they might not deserve the good things that find them. So, Amber, I wanted to kind of chat with you. You know, if you've listened to our shows in the past, this can be somewhat of an interview, but also at the same time, it really is you kind of giving your testimony. And I wanted to talk to you a lot about this in your work and knowing that this is a part of who you are and that you celebrate. You know, obviously abundance is in your name. We really haven't gotten into the conversation about abundance specifically and the importance of the word, the idea of the mindset. So we've talked a lot about how do you, you know, how do you get to where you want to be and how do you do what you want to do, but we really haven't posited abundance as a full kind of concept and thought. And so before we start, I wanted to ask you, why does abundance mean so much for you, or what does it mean for you in the mindset, and how can listeners begin to embrace the concept as a whole?
Yeah, so when I first started to deal with this idea of abundance, I was always meditating on this idea that scarcity is fake as fuck, right? A lot of times we are moving through the world thinking only some of us can make it, that literally it's, to me, it's also a narrative that is anti-capitalist, that there isn't enough for everybody, right?
Right,
which is just a lie. Like, we are limitless. Our earth is actually limitless, especially if we take care of it. And that abundance is a very real thing. It's not just something that you should buy on a coffee cup, right? It's like believing that you have a long, and I've added this recently, is like, yes, I believe in abundance, but that does not mean that I am a limitless source for people to take from without filling up, right?
Now let's talk about that, but go off.
So I came to Amber Abundance. I started calling myself Amber Abundance. Some of the folks who have been following my career for a long time know that I used to host a podcast called the Black Joy Mixtape, and I went by Amber J. Phillips, also known as the High Priestess of Black Joy. Because we were just in such a tumultuous time. It was around 2016 when, you know, we had this shitty president. And it was just a lot going on. But at the same time, I felt very limited again by the work that I was doing. I felt like I wasn't able to be myself. I was coming into my queer identity, but didn't really know how to navigate that with my family or how I was going to wear the moniker of knowing that I was this queer Black woman moving through the world. I was in these secret gay relationships, honey, just like not living my full life.
Right.
And I decided to go to Brussels for a month with my best friend. I stopped working for a whole month and I just like hopped around Europe. And I remember talking to one of my good friends and I was like, you know, when I come back, I don't really know how to navigate all these things, like specifically around my queerness. And she was just like, you know, Amber, you can be whoever you want to be. And that's how people will have to engage with you.
Yep.
And I was standing out. It was real. It was real fab. I was standing outside the Louvre. In Paris.
Yes. Bonjour.
And I was like, oh, I'm Amber Abundance now. Ooh, like, and that's who you'll have to engage with, because that's who I say you have to engage with. So my, what I tried to tell to other people who are like me, to folks who aren't, is that you get to be whoever you want to be in this world. And I know that seems so like one-on-one, that seems so simple, so basic. That's something we tell kids. But if you think about some of the narratives that you got as a kid or didn't get as a kid, that these are things that we must revisit. That we must revisit the idea that our lives are in our hands, regardless of how old we are. That we must revisit, as my friend Sonya Renee Taylor has said to me, you can be as healed as you want to be. You just have to choose it, right? We're old, especially when you get to a certain age, you're just like paying bills and dating, all these other things that you forget, like to kind of turn inward and being like, okay, so how am I feeling about all this? Is this working for me? And if it's not, abundance is real. You can choose something else. You can be more. You can decide, yes, my family might have known me as a churchy, straight Black girl. I am not that. Like, I am queer. or you might have known me. Last year I learned how to drive, and I really had to catch my friends up to like, no, I'm learning how to drive. And I mean that very seriously, mm-hmm. because sometimes people can keep you where they've known you, and you're allowed to continue that story at any part of your life.
Oh, the part that just that last moment of people can keeping you where they know you is just, oh, that's when I see so often with loved ones or friends or people like who say comments of like who like make comments about things that like mm-hmm. obviously come from this place of they want to keep you where they're comfortable, like which I think is so challenging and hard. So I'm like feeling that, and I'm holding that with you, and it makes me think a lot about the song Bigger by Beyonce when she says life is your birthright. They hit that in the fine print. Take the pen and rewrite it, because it's so true. Like we get the messages around us in media and hopefully from our families that we are mm-hmm. limitless people. And then as we like grow into teenagers and adulthood, like we're then shown that then made believe that's not true, which I think to your point, yep. Amber, is like entirely capitalist thinking, which is it's so interesting like the moment we switch with our children of like when we tell them they can be anything to then telling them what they actually can or cannot do, or we like the moment where when we give them the conditions of their container, it's just such an interesting thing to me. And I'm really glad we're diving this conversation during Pride Month, because you know a lot of this month is about celebrating the abundance we have in the queer community. That said, this year has become abundantly clear how under attack queer and trans communities are. As you can see by the over 300 pieces of legislation that have been proposed and or passed.
540
pieces of legislation that have been mm-hmm. proposed and or passed against queer and trans folks, mm-hmm. attacking our right to just exist publicly, period. I'd love to ask you, Amber, what are some strategies our communities could use to shift into an abundance mindset at a time where things do feel really scarce?
Yeah, I think that a lot of us have been already doing this work of speaking ourselves into existence, right? Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. we must remember that these bills are a response to us doing just that, which is taking mm-hmm. up space, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they realize that we were gaining traction. They see these kids, I was just talking about, they see the kids voguing at pre-K, mm-hmm. hitting the here comes mm-hmm. the hurricane. Like,
yeah.
They see people taking up more space, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. this is reactionary. And I think sometimes, yes, we're under attack, but it is a reaction to the gains that we have made mm-hmm. over these last years. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to continue to look at our initial plan, which was taking up space, building community, mm. speaking our truth, sharing a lot of the information that is even passed around about gender affirming care is through word of mouth, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is from one trans person to the next saying, this is what you have to do. Or mm-hmm. I'm seeing this experience right now with some friends in LA. I'm seeing this in the work of Travail's new book, right? Like mm-hmm. more mm-hmm. queer voices are taking center front stage. And I think we have to continue that, to not be distracted or dismayed by this feeble attempt, by this very simplistic way of trying to legislate us out of existence, right? Yep. Yep. So I my real push is to remind people that they just came up with this because they mad, right? Like, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I know it seems like our pushes for mutual aid, our pushes to really get clear on how to build community, right? I think a lot about you know, Legendary making it to HBO and ball culture, mm-hmm. that a lot of that was a blueprint for how to build community mm-hmm. in a world that is not factoring you mm-hmm. in.
Correct.
So now is the time to ramp that shit mm-hmm. up, mm-hmm. right? Like, because mm-hmm. it's not going to come from Target.
Right.
you see what that graphic design team was giving. Like, yeah. And it's nothing, right? Mm-hmm. We have to see these things. I think queer people have always been at the, I'm sorry, that shit is ugly. Like, why would you as a homosexual be buying your queer content from Target? Like, this is Old Navy in the 4th of July.
So, like, because so real quick, real. There are so I want to say this because I was partly offended when I saw the tweet, but then I was like, wait. You're talking about designs because there were a few. There are some items that they have that are cute. The jumpsuit and the overalls. But that's it. That's all I'm giving it.
That's it. All right. So.
Amber's like, okay, next.
That's it for everybody. But what I want to remind people is like, don't let that shit distract you.
Right.
Get your rainbow flag from who you were getting it from before.
Right.
Get your t-shirt from the queer creator you were getting your t-shirt from before.
Right.
This is a money grab. And if anybody deserves the finances and resources that comes from saying, I'm proud of who I am, it's us. Right? So it's like, no, I'm repurposing this to be like, this is about us gaining traction.
Yeah.
This is about the fact that you cannot do anything of cultural significance without engaging with queer folks.
Yep. That's real.
This is trying to get us to shut the fuck up, and I refuse.
No, honestly, that literally has how I've felt all week. I've felt a way, but I appreciate you saying that because I think that one of the things that people miss in these conversations is the gains and how much more. I know saying prideful is very much kind of on the nose, but we are very much, I'm finding more and more queer people to be proud of who they are much sooner. And I find that a lot of folks are very much irritated because that's the whole notion of, oh, well, we don't want our children. Well, no, you're just mad that people are figuring themselves out early and are telling you to basically
you're
get
figuring out that you're not happy that you've actually never had the orgasm that you thought you were having.
Amen. That amen. You're actually amen.
Not getting the emotional support that you thought you think you deserve in your heterosexual relationship. Right. Like this is all people trying to leave the house. They're trying to escape their own very dull it's reality. Deflection. I hope this isn't coming across as like catchy. It's like they're realizing they don't have the love that they thought they had, right?
Yeah
they're seeing a more powerful love, a more deeper, like I think of all the things that I was taught I could not be as a Black girl. Right. Mm-hmm. Like how I shouldn't dress, how I shouldn't look. And I'm out here doing all that. Right.
Yeah.
And that is offensive to people because they're like, well, why aren't I wearing a swimsuit? Mm-hmm. Why am I only wearing flip flops and nothing else cute? You know, where's my pizzazz? Where's my sass? And who did I give it away to? You know, a lot of straight people have just given away their autonomy to an idea that does not exist.
That's that binary.
We all went through that pandemic. We all saw how fragile our jobs were, how fragile our housing was, how fragile all those things were. And it was queer and trans communities who were able to tap into how we already knew to build community to save ourselves and to keep ourselves safe.
Yeah. You just said a whole word. And I think about that a lot. You know, I remember having a conversation with Quinta years ago before Quinta became the Quinta we know now, you know, and we were talking about that, right? This notion of who would you be if you didn't live in the hurt? And I think that that is so many people, specifically straight people who are hurting and they see us doing the healing. They see us finding the joy in whatever facets we find joy. And they can't fathom living outside of the pain that they constantly lock themselves in. Oh my God. That's a whole conversation in itself. But I definitely want to say that I think you hit the nail right on the head, Amber. So the next question that I kind of was thinking about, you know, when we posit this conversation, I always like to think with like, how do I ask questions that are intentional? And one of the things that I think, you know, we hear a lot on social media, we hear a lot of conversation about both manifestation and abundance. And I find that influencers tend to use those words as synonymous and they're, in my opinion, they're not. And so I wanted to know in your mind, like, are the words manifestation and abundance one and the same? And if not, like what makes them different and why are they, the bigger question is why are they both so essential to queer Black people?
Yeah. Well, one is abundance just is. Abundance just exists. Like It is the air that we're in. Abundance is real. Manifestation is an action. It's like a verb. You have to decide that you have to put some work behind it. You know, they say prayer without works, you know, you gotta dig into my Christianity
background. Faith without works is dead, honey. Hey, that's God. I know that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes, I think the co-opting of a lot of things in wellness is just really hard for me because when I started calling myself abundance, Amber Abundance, it wasn't like popularized online yet. Right. Like it wasn't something that was always coming up. And then it became like a thing. And I named that because like, that's real. The reality is a lot of Black queer folks, myself included, are a starting point for people to get their ideas off. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and they just do it bad. Sometimes they ain't do no research.
Right.
But I think, you know, a lot of my manifestation work is based in that I have control over my reality. Yeah. Like, that I can position I can choose. Mm-hmm. I can choose to believe in scarcity and I can move through the world fighting that uphill battle.
Yeah.
Or I could choose to believe in abundance and move through the world and be a much pleasant person to be in community with, be more open and giving, understanding that life goes on or not. Like, so I think I can't really answer in terms of why people are conflating the two. Mm-hmm. But I know that my lens is very much centered in trying to lessen the impact on my soul of anti-Blackness.
Yeah, yeah.
Our world is riddled in it. It's riddled in anti-Black, fat phobia, white supremacy, capitalism, all these other things. Mm. That is, and people are not even consenting. Like, they're just in that world because that's what we're fed.
That's what we're fed.
My interaction with abundance and manifestation is like, okay, while the world is doing all that, how am I going to hold myself? How am I going to believe that I can at least create the community around me that is impactful and that can hold me without bringing me down? Mm-hmm. You know, like I was thinking about this and again, in terms of pride, like, there are spaces where I feel very affirmed, like here, like at the book launch where we talked, where people are able to identify that I am worthy, that I am valuable. Yeah. And then I can go to the mall to get like my iPad fixed and be engaged with is just another fat Black girl who means nothing to no one. Right. And I still have to come back and pull that together, you know, to know that I'm not going to allow people to define me based on their own shit. That is not even personal to me. That has nothing to do with me. That is you. So I feel like we're all just trying to figure it out right now. I know it's a burden for some folks, but you have to decide what your politic, what your lens is when you're moving through the world and through the internet, because people will, use your words against you, honey. They will. Yes. Like, to sell a product, to sell an idea, to sell you a fantasy that is really just your birthright. Abundance is your birthright. Ooh. So
I love that so much. I really do.
I'm thinking,
and this is just behind all the art. Like, that's, if I didn't believe half this stuff, I would never write. I would never tell stories. I would never believe that I am fine and beautiful and all these other things or worthy of love. So I rather believe that than all this other shit out here.
Right.
I'm breathing that all in for a moment.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about your short film. 2 years ago, you launched a short film called Abundance that, and I'll quote, explore the limitations and radical possibilities of identity from the perspective of a jaded politico, Black storyteller, and pop culture enthusiast with Black queer feminist intentions. I'd love to ask, can you share with us what that experience was like and what you gleaned from making that in terms of, like, abundance in the work that you're doing today?
Making abundance was, the process was very dreamy. I'm so glad I committed to it in the way that mm-hmm. I did, because I made it when the expectations weren't there right. for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I made abundance at a time where people, I was, I love Pride because people share this video that I made where I say I ain't no boring ass heterosexual, right? And it was, I was making these weekly videos where I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk for a minute. I'm going to take something that's going on in my life and say what yeah. I got to say. And, you know, there were some like political organizations and social justice funds that kind of picked up on that. And they're like, you know, they want to bottle you up and put you where they mm-hmm, want you to be. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to this fellowship where basically they wanted me to do more of that, more of these 1 to 5 minute videos. Now, Abundance is a short film. It's only 30 minutes long. And the expectation was for me to do more 1 to 5 minute long pieces of content. I was like, no, I'm making a longer form mm-hmm. movie. Like, I want to make a movie that I can stretch out in, because y'all spend, I always say this, y'all spend hours in the Marvel Universe. What Fast and the Furious are we on right now? And, okay. And you are telling me I can't be at the center of my mm-hmm. own universe for 30 mm-hmm. minutes? That's ridiculous. So Abundance really taught me that if you have a story that you want to tell, tell it. Mm. Just tell it. You deserve to tell it. I don't care who you are. You don't even have to be a person with a bunch of social media clout, right? Some of us are waiting to document our existence and our lives until something important happens to us, or until somebody deems us as important. And Abundance was me stepping into the fact of like, I know that I'm a storyteller. I know that I'm a writer, and I know I'm a culture icon. Mm-hmm. And y'all will mm-hmm. see.
Yeah.
But right now, yeah. this is what I want to start with.
Yeah.
If I like leave this planet right now, and that is going to be my foundational piece of work that gets at what I've been trying to do mm-hmm. with my work. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to use it as a calling mm-hmm. card. I wanted to create something that I really needed to see. Mm-hmm. And that's what that has meant mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah. That is, you know, I love that you say, if you have a story, tell it. Because I feel like that's, you know, a big part of this show, and a big reason why I stuck with like the title of this show is, you know, I think about all of the folks who are talking about, you know, Black queer stories not being documented. And I think like we right. now have 49 episodes of Black queer voices yes, and stories and experiences mm. that mm. have been documented. And I think that that for me is why mm. I love coming to this mic every week. And even when people say, oh, well, what else can you talk about? It's like everyone brings something different to this mic every single week, whether it's laughter, whether it's sadness, whether it's joy, whether it's frustration. We always are dealing with something different, and we have so many different perspectives. And I love that you mentioned this conversation around abundance, because we as queer people, we are abundant, right? We really have
yes.
so much to bring to the surface of things. And I feel like society and the world doesn't give us the space to share our stories the way we want to. And so for me, I'm very grateful, and I'm very thankful that you have centered so much of that in the work you're doing. So the last question that I kind of wanted to get to, you know, before we cut to commercial, is I know that one of the things that I see often for me is thinking about abundance and hard times and how they go hand in hand. And so I'm like, stick with me, stay with me when I say this, because some people are like, abundance and hard times, where are you going, Dr. Higgins? And I, for me, when I was writing out this question, I put, I guess, you know, what I'm thinking about is we have all gone through hard times and are now starting to get over the hump. In relation to being like, okay, those hard times were there. It happened. We went through it. We may still be going through something hard at the moment, but there's still this element of us fearing the joy and the good that comes in the sense of like abundance, right? This notion of being able to really celebrate the fact of like, bitch, I'm still here. And so, and so I guess my question is, you know, from your purview, from your own lived experience, how have you been able to receive your own abundance without it basically fucking up your mental, right? Because again, like you said, the anti-Blackness, the capitalism, all of these pieces live in our head rent free. How do you make room for the abundance in your head and not allowing the world to drive you crazy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think, you know, you have these moments when you're creating something where you can kind of like talk yourself out of it because you might not have an example or you've never seen like acting on my own abundance and through storytelling specifically, it gives me a breadcrumb. It gives me a real thing that I can go back to when I'm not feeling my greatest, when I'm not feeling the best. That proves like, honey, you actually have already done this. Like when I came into this year, I was kind of uncertain what my next project would be. And I wrote on a post-it note that sits on my desk. It says, you are already an award-winning filmmaker and published writer.
Right.
If you don't do nothing else, you already got that in the bag, which means you can do it again, you know? So I think that the more I'm always trying to coach people into acting on their ideas, even if they don't get published anywhere, like, because you'll have something to go back to. You'll have a starting point. And the more you act on that, the more you have to build from. It's like, you're never quite starting with a blank page. So I think that's what helps me. Like recently Abundance was curated into a show at Waco Theater by Janelle Ambrose and Miss Tina Knowles Lawson.
I know that's right.
And
come on now. Come on.
And it was up in this show that featured all of these Black women and non-binary artists. And when I was feeling unsure, when I wasn't feeling like my best, I was like, I can literally go sit with my film.
Right.
Even outside my house, I can go look at that with other people. That is exists. That is real. So I think it's about, you know, leaving those breadcrumbs for yourself or those pieces of nourishment, pieces of nourishment that you can refer back to when you don't have it all in you right now, right? Because that's not the expectation. It's not for you to always be on or you to always be producing content and doing the things. Like, sometimes you need those moments where you're still and you can go and enjoy your own labor, your own narrative, you know?
She said for a second, honey. Oof.
Sit with your own self.
Sit with you for a minute.
That's why you made it. I can only imagine that's why you made it, right? Yeah. You all are creating the archive. So like, if ever you're like, what is my next move? I need to make my next move, my best. Put on episode two.
Yeah.
Put on episode one. Yeah.
Amber.
And then put on the latest one and just look at your growth. Yeah. Look what you've been able to do.
No, thank you so much for saying
right
that.
Right in the chest.
Thank you so much for saying that, truly. Like, I mean, and John, thank you for saying earlier, like, I haven't thought about this show being the actual documentation of Black queer voices in this way, in any way. And so hearing that was just, like, really beautiful. And we'll definitely make our news next week that much sweeter. And Amber, like, you know, saying that taking time to enjoy your labor is just such a... It's just such a sweet note to end on. So thank you so much for sharing that. Fam, while our conversation has been abundant, the time we have until our next break is not, unfortunately. So we gotta take that right now and we'll be right back afterwards. More in a sec.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, fam, we are back. It was our next segment. We're going to talk about how you healing. And for this week, this segment might be a little bit heavy, but we feel like Amber is the perfect person to, quote unquote, go there with us this conversation.
Yes, God.
So for this week's segment, we want to talk about intergenerational healing. So many folks talk about healing the trauma that's passed down to them throughout their lives, but no one really talks about how they do that. They just say, this is what it was, and this is where I'm at now. But how did you get there? Mm-hmm. So this week, I want to ask, what does intergenerational healing look like for you? How's it shown up in your life? And even if you are still in the process of just doing the work, what success have you had with it? Or maybe what struggles have you had with it? I'll kick off first, and then we'll pass to our guest, Amber, then to John.
Yay.
I will say, my intergenerational healing work begins with storytelling. Mm. My parents were great storytellers, and they have been throughout my whole life. My father's no longer with us. Here, my mom is, and she is still a great storyteller. And it began with them sharing special moments of their lives with me, whether it was the joys and pains of it all and everything in between. And they talked to me a lot about their upbringings. And through those stories, I got to understand the why behind some of their shortcomings. I'll be super clear in first saying that my parents gave me a great deal of affection and care growing up. their biggest gift was the belief that I can thrive in anything that I do. Like, they really taught me to believe in myself, and I appreciate that to the highest power. But their shortcomings came the day to day. How they navigate conflict, how they showed up passively or aggressively or passive aggressively, et cetera. And so my healing journey, which is definitely still a journey, is really about not responding to challenges in the ways that they would have, or navigating conflict in the same way. An example I'll give is that my dad, a blessed memory, was often a dishonest person, like pathological liar status. And I say that because, I mean, it's true. You ask anybody, you ask any of my siblings, my mom or people around him, and you would say, like, he would lie a lot.
Daddy was a lawyer.
He could lie through his teeth like nobody's business. So because of that, I learned to do the same, and I really mastered it. Like, I too could lie through my teeth. I could lie so good I can make myself believe it. And so I was shown, though, that lying at its core was a discomfort with the truth. And I realized that my dad's dishonesty was because he was afraid to face the truth. He was afraid to tell the truth because he didn't want to hurt somebody, and especially because he didn't want to face the fact that he was hurting himself in the process. Even though he hurt someone regardless, and often himself too in that process. So my healing process has been to be honest, even when it hurts. My close friends know this. I strive for honesty in everything that I do, because lying is easy. Like, lying is so easy to me. It's not vulnerable. And I want to be vulnerable. So I have to choose the hard, painful, discomforting thing. So I want to be honest. And so that's a healing that I have to choose to do every single day. But that's one thing I think about a lot when it comes to how do you heal the intergenerational healing? Because I know that he got that from his father. I know his father probably got that from his father, and so on and so forth. And if I have kids, I don't want to be the parent. I don't want to be the parent that lies. I mean, I don't want my spouse to be either, but I don't want us to be parents that lie to our kids. I want us to be able to be honest with them, even when it's scary, when it's hard, and with people that I love anyway. So that's mine. Amber, how about you?
And this is intergenerational, you know, that's one of the themes of abundance, is just like taking these narratives specifically from the women in my family and kind of like looking at them through this, when they happen, and then looking at them like years later through reflection of who I am now. And I think one of the things that I'm navigating is like this expectation of what a matriarch is, and that being passed down, even if it's not necessarily a responsibility that you want, or how to redefine what a matriarch is, because there's definitely this expectation. I'm an oldest child, so I have a lot of oldest child wounds of trying to take care of everybody. So one of the biggest things I've been working on is asking for help, and not being ashamed to ask for help. There's so much shame in my family with needing things. And that's again where that kind of like lying comes from, or not telling the full truth specifically in how you feel. So that's one of the things that I've really like, that was a piece that I had to reckon with, is admitting when like I not only need help, I don't even know what to do next. Like, I need support on even how to not like just move through thinking my way out of problems, because I'm very like up here with it. That sometimes is about feeling and like saying, I saw a video on TikTok where this little girl was just crying. They were like, oh, she's fake crying because she wanted something. And I'm just like, I cannot recall a time where I was like that. And I feel like that's just such a reasonable sensitivity to have, is to just cry or yell or fuss and cry specifically until you get what it is that you're requesting. And I wish I had more of that. I'm normally like a fight and go get it type of person, but I'm like, I don't have that in me. Like, sometimes it's really like tears. So that's a big thing. I hope that answers your question, but that's a piece that I don't want to continue from about the women in my family, is like struggling through and just like putting it on your back and bearing down and Like, I'm not doing none of that shit.
It's too much. You know, get somebody else to do it is a...
Get somebody... that is a word! Get somebody else to do it because somebody else...
I stay going back to that clip because mama had the smile of, you not gonna ruin my day. Mm-mm. Get You're somebody else to do
it. You're not about to ruin my shopping trip in Marshall. Get somebody else to do it, baby girl. I'm so sorry. She said, you better get you a tripod. She said, like, they literally have things you can buy.
It was the mm-mm for me. Mm-mm. Get somebody else to do it. That has changed my life for in the best
way. I hope that woman is blessed.
I hope she is somewhere eating all of the candy she got in that little, you know, that area in Marshall's right before you check out. Yes. I hope she's eating all the candy.
Them jelly beans.
And them old chocolates. Yes. I hope mama's eating all of it. It's funny because, you know, you had mentioned, you know, the yelling and all of that. And that is actually what I had put down. I said, you know, first off, I was saying, let's go there because this week I feel like I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, I didn't think we was going to have all of these conversations about, you know, I'm in a place right now where I'm feeling it in my body. And I feel not only the abundance in my body, but I also feel the moment of like the intergenerational trauma that will pop up at any given second. Right. And having to catch myself to like really talk myself out of going into those dark places that I know my mind could go into because of the stuff that I've been through. And so that's where kind of everything is for me. But I think a big piece of for me with intergenerational trauma is really connected to lack. And I don't know if that makes complete sense, but I think, you know, I think being Black, being queer, being Black and queer, you know, I never really had the word for me that's coming to mind is space. And when I say space, what I mean by that is growing up, we didn't have the financial means to go take vacations, right? I never really had the means up until maybe last year to be able to say, you know what? I'm not going to do anything today to work. Like I just don't feel like doing anything. So I'm not going to do anything. There was always this hustle that was always kind of like an undertow with me and the way I moved in this life. And so, you know, when I say the word lack, what I really mean is like my mind is always, you know, even you talking about sitting in my labor, quote unquote, with like even just this show, I have to sometimes remind myself, you know, that just because we record one day out of the week doesn't mean that I'm somehow lazy or that I'm less than because I'm not doing everything else everyone else is doing in the podcasting world, if that makes sense. Like I'm having to constantly tell myself, girl, it's okay to rest. It is okay for you to sit down. You are not going to lose out on money just because you took Thursday off and said, I'm going to take it easy today. And I think that's something a lot of Black and queer or even just anyone in general, a lot of us, you know, I always tie it back to this notion of, and I hate being this person, but that's just who I am. I always tie it back to slavery because I always think about that innate feeling of needing to always be doing something comes from like even thinking about when you were a child. When you were sitting down on a Saturday afternoon eating cereal, watching TV, the first thing your family would say is, what you doing? Why are you not moving? You need to be cleaning. You need to be doing something. Mm-hmm. My mom's favorite thing to say was, make yourself useful. Get to work. Mm-hmm. Do something. Right. And that was my whole family's mentality. If you were sitting for too long, you somehow was in the way and you were somehow like the least useful person in the space. And so there's just so much to that. But even thinking about big things too, like even the way I talk to my partner, you know, my family for years, we were notorious yellers. I've had to tell my mom that. I had to tell my mom, like, when my mom gets frustrated, I'm like, Mom, I'm right here. You don't have to scream. Like, or my brother, like, Bubs, you don't have to yell. It's okay. I hear you. And I think that's another part of living in a world where you feel like the world doesn't hear you, or you live in a world where you feel like no one understands what you're saying. A lot of people tend to get frustrated and yell. And so I catch myself doing that with my partner where I'll have to, like, calm down and say, okay, you know, it's not that Jonathan doesn't hear you. It's he's not getting your point. So pull back. Let's say this again to see if he'll get it a different way. So that way I'm not having to scream. But I say all that to say, like, a big part of my intergenerational trauma is connected to this notion of feeling like everything I do was not enough. And then also to like the way I talk to people and things of that nature. But Yeah, girl, we could talk about it for days, I am sure. I think all of these are such great topics. We are truly in our Anyama area. So yeah. I'm about to go out here and put my face into a hole. And when we get back, yes, just let it out. I'm going to scream into a hole somewhere. But when we get back, we go get into the silliness that is Yes, Ma'am and No, Ma'am, Pam. No, more in a second. All right, everybody. So this week, I'm going to try to make all of my, both my Yes, Ma'am and my No, Ma'am very quick because I could go off, but I'm not going to. So I'm going to just go ahead and say this first. For my Yes, Ma'am, I would truly like to say a quick shout out to my new agent, Giselle, over at Grand Rising Talent. And I share this because I think it is imperative for me to say that this is my Yes, Ma'am, not just because I am now working with an agency, but I say this because my agent is Black and queer. And they found me. So that was the other beautiful part of this thing, right? Giselle has believed in everything I have done from day one. Giselle, when I initially told Giselle back in the day that I was thinking about doing this show, she told me it was going to be successful. And we're starting to see a lot of pieces of the show become successful. And I'm just so grateful for Giselle for not only believing in me and believing in all the show, but also believing in Black queer people in a world in entertainment where a lot of people will say, well, we don't know what to do with you. We think that you're a little too abrasive. We think you're this, we think you're that. Giselle came into my life and said, you can be all of those things and be successful. And so I really want to say, this is not a moment to gloat. It's me being happy that I finally have Black and queer people on my team who not only are invested in hiring and paying queer people, but also making sure that everything that I want to come to fruition looks the way I want it and is not having to be done from the eye of white supremacy. So big ups to anybody and everybody who is really going up and doing it for queer Black people. I just really wanted to say that as a big thank you. So, my No, Ma'am, Pams this week. So I initially came in with one, but now I have two. So I'm going to say this first. My No, Ma'am, Pam this week are for the people. I don't know if y'all saw. So I'll say this and then I'll get to my No, Ma'am, Pam. I don't know if you saw, but IMDb had to go back and redo their rating system because somebody was doing something racist over at IMDb trying to get Hallie's marks to go down. I don't know what the full schematics was. I didn't read the article. But I say all of that to say that a lot of people have been giving Halle Bailey bullshit about her role in Little Mermaid. And I just want to say, I don't understand when people started working for Rotten Tomatoes. There are a lot of people who are handing out critiques like they work for Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm like, baby, you ain't produced a film. You ain't gave no money. You haven't written anything. You haven't done anything. Yes, you can watch a show and have your critiques. But for me, when I watched that movie, I said, I am sure that this movie took a lot of energy for Halle just to even be in the role, right? Just looking at it off that. So I'm just in the mind, save your discourse for MySpace and Tumblr. Nobody cares. A lot of y'all have a lot to say about my baby Halle. And I personally don't want to hear it. I personally feel like Halle is doing her thing. And I feel like there are a lot of people who are making comments about her and the Little Mermaid just off of the premise that they are jealous. But also on top of that, the white folks who have a lot to say about Halle in the role suffer. That's really all I have.
Just drown, if you will.
You could go find your white Ariel in the ocean, honey.
Stay under the sea, honey.
Just suffer. Stay under the sea. My next No, Ma'am, Pam, and then I'm gonna throw it to our baby Amber. I have words for companies who love queer folks until it's time to pay them. You know who you are. That's all I'm gonna say. You love Black and queer people until it's time to write a check. And I literally could name names if I really wanted to, but God has already told me that a blessing is going to come my way. And so I just wanted to say, for companies and for people who are placating these companies who are bringing Black and brown folks in to do the Pinocchio, I'm a puppet, look at me dance. fuck y'all. That's literally all I have. Amber, what are your yes ma'ams and your no ma'am pams for this week?
Yeah. I got an email today that was like, we're doing the best we can, just so you know, brands are not investing in pride.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, don't send me no shit like leave me out of that. Okay.
Now why am I in it? Yeah.
Now how am I in it? Because
now how do I get it? You see, I get thrown
nobody
anything.
Was asking you for mm-hmm. shit. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, you know what? My no, you started with your.
I started
no,
with my yes, and then I and move the, over to no.
Okay, I'm gonna start with my yes, ma'am, Pams. I am just so proud of Black, queer, and trans
yes.
folks.
Yes,
who have the audacity to name themselves. And to use their platforms to name themselves mm-hmm. and to validate the existence of other Black and trans queer
Amen.
People.
Amen.
Right now, who's sticking up at the front of my mind is Janelle
yes.
Monáe. I think that everything Janelle Monáe is doing with revealing themselves to us, correcting y'all in the most iconic ways around who that person is, mm-hmm. is like very motivating in a space where like so many people feel like they should be pat on the back for not labeling, quote unquote, labeling
right,
themselves
right.
as if that is not, again, a breadcrumb to somebody else's liberation,
yeah, yeah.
especially theirs. Like, I'm just like over people skirting around their politic around yeah. this thing, especially as you said, with all these pieces of legislation, these real things coming up, and y'all don't want to state if you're with us or against yeah. us. So my yes ma'am Pams are to the lipstick lovers currently, and this new I Love a Janelle Monáe release. Like, it just defines the summer. It defines the moment. It always feels super validating to me as a Black queer
Amen.
Person. My no ma'am Pams is very specific. You know, it's based in the fact that, like, I am Black and I enjoy Black culture. Yeah. Every single year, it's like Black media platforms get worse around their engagement on Pride. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of over it at this
okay.
point. It's like, y'all act like y'all can't find the Black queer writers. Y'all act like y'all can't find, y'all will listicle us to
House
death.
Down boots.
Like, I don't give a fuck if you think I'm one of the Black queer creators to watch. I really don't. Because someone on your staff could write an article, mm-hmm. could write a feature mm-hmm. on what it is that we're all doing. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's just
always so lazy. It's giving for the sake of social content. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. Mm-hmm. Like, because Ice Spice can literally do close to nothing and y'all go up. So, like, what is it? What's the block? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
You're not. Don't be sorry. You said what you said.
I'm not. I'm just has something mm-hmm. to say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, I want more from Black people in terms of honoring queer.
I respect that,
because we're there throughout history and throughout time. Mm-hmm. Like, we're literally a part of this Black mm. history, and I just want it to be documented. If you all can create an archive, if I can create an archive with my limited resources, like,
yeah,
where are we
yeah,
at?
It really, you know? It, like, I mean, to your point, Amber, it really isn't hard. Like, if any publication is looking to feature people, we have at least 30 guests we've talked to that you can feature.
Amen. Like, amen. Amen.
Like, so it really isn't that.
And you know who they are because they're on your vision board.
Okay.
When you pull the outfit,
yeah.
Let's
yeah.
be real.
Yeah. We're not, and that's the thing I'm also annoyed by, because a lot of people, they're so hard to find. No, they're not. No, they're not.
It just requires you to look. You just gotta look.
Cause y'all be real in our
yeah.
business.
Okay. Very much that.
Mm-hmm.
Very much that.
Yeah, no problem finding us for a listicle, but you want to dig deeper into that. Like, it, yeah, mm-hmm. it's just.
Ooh. Don't want to know no whys or no motivations. What's your
info? Exactly.
Like, nothing, really? It's weird.
Yeah. So feel you, hear you on the Amber. My yes ma'am, I'll just say, I mean, my yes ma'am really is, so today y'all were recording on June 1st. And so my yes ma'am is for the beginning of Pride Month, because where I think one thing I love about seeing, like, what seeing it is just like the extra education that people get that they don't have. I mean, I to this line of like, well, like, why are we educating more? Like, and oftentimes, like, unpaidly, why are we educating more to people? But there's something special I see about the folks who are really committed to education mm-hmm. of queer experiences and queer history that, like, really commit to spending this month, like, diving more into it. Because at the end of the day, like, it is a month that people will care more. Or the people mm-hmm. will – let me rephrase. It's the month that people will say they care more. I may not always care more, but it's a month that they'll care more, so they're more likely to listen. And so I really just love seeing the amount of education that's there. I really love whoever throws in the Derrick Barry quote of "People die at Stonewall." I live for this every year when someone's mm-hmm. like, "People died at Stonewall." Let's just
nobody died.
It's something that is gonna be a yes fan forever because it just tickles me every time where I'm like, "Wow, someone Derrick." I mean, of course, Derrick thought this, but also that like
poor baby
that we still reference this as a piece of queer culture. So I live laugh lesbian for that, which brings me to my no man Pam to all the pride shortcomings that we shall be witnessing this entire month from businesses, organizations, churches, all the above, and everything in between. This is the month where every business under the sun gets the chutzpah to sell the most outlandish thing for funsies without doing any of the actual work to support queer and trans folks.
Not funsies!
Like, listen, Target, live, laugh, lesbian does tickle me. It really does. Mm-hmm. But, like, who in the marketing team was like, yes, this is what queer and trans folks need. A shirt that says "Live, Laugh, Lesbian." This solves.
They like
this,
jokes. Like,
Libby is giving that one girl. Hi, gay. You like jokes? We have jokes for you.
Hi, gay. Yeah.
Stop it! It's doing too much. Like it just. Like all we want, it's like it's a funny thing that I'm just like all we want is just to have a full suite of rights and not have to think about will they be debated in the next election or at any given moment. That's literally all we want. And your solution is, how about a pride bottle? How about a pride sticker? How about a rainbow flag to put into put on your house? Like we are literally saying we want these things very clearly. And business organizations like, well, we can't do that, but we can donate $10 to this multi-million-dollar organization in hopes that that will serve you.
We'll give you $2.
We'll give you $2. Exactly. Fuck mutual aid funds. We'll just give to this giant-ass nonprofit.
Yeah.
So that's my no man Pams. Do all the tomfoolery that's going to happen this month from businesses and organizations.
I'm so tired, y'all. But anyway, all that to say, I am so thankful that both of y'all are calling people to the carpet and saying what needs to be said. So with that, y'all, please send us your thoughts, your feedback, and your emails to blackfatfempod@gmail.com. I will also say this, that if you have not sent your emails in, you should, because we are eventually hoping to do a mailbag episode, and we would love to hear from you. We've gotten some feedback, but we still have not gotten enough for a mailbag episode. So please send us your stuff. We would love to hear from you. If emailing is not your thing, you can also send your thoughts over via social media by interacting with our post or sending us a DM on Instagram and Twitter. I know some of you have done that too, and we love reading your stuff. Thank you so much, Amber, for rocking with us for this episode. We are so happy to have you. Where can folks find you?
You can find me at Amber Abundance across social media platforms. So that includes Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or amberabundance.com. Mm-hmm. And there you can also get a link to watch my movie, my short film, Abundance. But yeah, and I'd be out in these LA streets. Yes. So please.
I love seeing
you. If you see something, say something.
If you see something, baby, say something. Yes, Lord.
Say something.
Yes, okay. Lord.
Bless God.
Joho, where can the dolls find you?
As always, my loves, you can find me at Joho Daniels across all social medias. And if not there, you will find me in my house because I am tired as hell from traveling. You will find me specifically in my bed, wrapped up under the sheets, and with a way blanket and a hot compress because a bitch is exhausted. Mm-hmm. And if not there, you'll find me marching these streets in my 7-inch heels, asking my local officials where reparations are for Black people and queer people in this entire country.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you, pay me. Yes, very okay. much that. It's giving that. It's giving. I love that for all of you. Well, as for me, you can honestly catch me somewhere booing celebrities who have been quiet about the harm queer people have experienced so far. I'm not going to name names, but Taylor Swift, I'm looking at you. You can also find me at Dr. John Paul, or you can visit my website at www.drjohnpaul.com. We would love to thank our supervising producer Rebecca Ramos, Bay Wang, and our executive super producer Anna Hosnia, and everyone over at iHeartMedia for all the love and support they give us. We would also like to shout out our wonderful editor Chris Rogers, because without him there would be what? No show. Yes, God, no show. Thank you everybody for listening this week, and remember, the A in LGBTQ+ does not stand for ally. Okay. If you don't know what it stands for, it sounds like you might need to hop on your Googles. Okay. I love us for real. Bye. Ever said Lord Jesus.
Not that they think it stands for ally, God. How'd y'all get in it?
How'd y'all get in it?
Chris, this is where you can cut.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.